Hey, Daniel, have you heard of Zeno's paradox?
Yeah, is that the one where you can't get somewhere because you keep going half the distance and then half that distance and half that distance?
Yeah, it's kind of like this thought experiment where you say, all right, I'm trying to get home, so I'm going to get to half of the distance to my home. And then you stop and you say, all right, now I'm going to get half of the distance to my home. And so you go another half of that. And you say, now I'm going to go half of the distance to my home, and you do that half. And so the question is, will you ever get home? I mean, it sounds like you would always get there because you're always going half of what's left, but you might never get there, right?
It raises an interesting question, right? Because if you can cut a mile in half and then cut that in half to a quarter mile and cut that in half to an eighth of a mile, mm-hmm. can you keep cutting it to infinitely small distances? Like, are those distances even meaningful on a physics point of view? Or is there a shortest possible distance in the universe after which Zeno has to actually take that step, right?
So physics could be like Zeno's paradox, more like Zeno's paranot.
That's right. Zeno's paradox unraveled.
Hi, I'm Jorge.
And I'm Daniel.
And welcome to our podcast, Daniel and Jorge Explain the Universe.
Where we take the universe, cut it in half, and then cut it in half again, and cut it in half again and again until it's small enough for everybody to understand and happily digest. This is Daniel and Jorge's podcast, Paradox.
And unlike that paradox, this will actually end at some point in about 30 to 35 minutes.
That's right. Not if you listen to half the podcast and then half of what's left and then half of what's left, right? Infinitely slicing the podcast, you can enjoy it forever.
Yeah. At some point, you'll be like,
That's right. You'd be listening to one unit of laughter. But that's sort of the question we want to talk about today. Can you slice up space into smaller and smaller pieces? Can you divide it into shorter and shorter distances? Or
is space pixelated like a video game?
That's right. Or your latest iPhone. You look around you and it seems like the universe is continuous and smooth, right? But it might be that the universe is actually pixelated, that you can be here or the adjacent pixel, but you can't be in between, that there's a shortest possible distance to the universe.
So not the stuff is pixelated, but the actual, like, the universe itself, the space in it is like a video game. It's pixelated. It's not continuous and infinite resolution.
Exactly. And it's a perfect analogy to the stuff, right? In particle physics, we love taking things apart. We say your body is made of molecules and those molecules are made of atoms and those atoms are made of smaller particles and those little particles get down to quarks and leptons. And we're looking for the tiniest particle, the base particle out of which everything is built. Mm-hmm. But in a completely parallel track, we can ask the same questions about space. Is a mile built out of half miles or just built out of quarter miles, which eventually is built out of the smallest unit? Or can you infinitely divide it?
So this is a mind-blowing question. And so we were curious what you thought the answer was. Do you think the universe is pixelated?
Yeah, so I went around and I asked a random selection of UC Irvine undergraduates who were not put off by a weird physics professor holding a mic in their face and asked them this question.
Do you think the universe is pixelated?
Here's what they had to say.
It's quantized, basically, so atoms cannot be... I mean, of course, they're made by subatomic particles, but I think after that, like, it can't be continuous. I think it's particulate.
I think it's like an asymptote. Like, you reach smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, but you never get to, like, a finite, like, this is the smallest thing.
I think it would probably get smaller and smaller forever.
I really don't know about this. This is a tough question.
It is a tough question.
Yeah, right.
What's your best guess? What do you think? What's your gut say?
It really, you know, this one is really beyond my understanding of this whole world right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So people were kind of skeptical about this.
There was a whole spectrum of answers. I mean, some people were like, no, you can chop things down infinitely far. Other people were like, no, quantum mechanics says everything is quantized and therefore there must be pixels. And other people were like,
what?
Wow, I have no idea. What are you talking about? And I totally regret agreeing to answer your questions.
It's like I've never heard these two words at the same time, universe and pixels.
That's right. That's right. And it is a weird question, you know, but the pixels is a perfect analogy because, like, if you have a modern iPhone and you look at the screen, it seems like the pictures are fluid, they're smooth, right? You can't see the pixels because they have this retina display, which gives the illusion that it's completely smooth.
But it's kind of interesting because if you look at an old phone, like just from 5 to 10 years ago, it looks horribly pixelated.
That's right.
Like it looks crunchy and chunky, and you think, how could I ever have seen this and thought this was anything of quality?
That's right. And you know, even old-fashioned photographs, the ones that are analog, not digital, ones that use chemistry, those in effect have pixels as well. They're just so small that you can't see them because, you know, the development process is a chemical process. And so it's based on, you know, molecules and drops of fluid and whatever. It's just the pixels are so small. So if the pixels are small enough that you can't see them, it gives you the illusion that it's perfectly continuous and that you could, you know, zoom in forever and see more and more details.
Mm.
You know, like on those cop shows, where they're like, enhance the image, and they can just like zoom in forever and read the time on somebody's watch or something, right?
Right. Or get like a face match.
Yeah, but in a real picture, there's a limit to the information that's been captured. And if you look from far away, it looks like you could zoom in forever. But at some point, as you start zooming in, you notice the pixels. And so that's the question we're wondering about today. Like, sure, space seems continuous around us, but is it possible that if we zoomed in far enough, the pixels could appear at some point?
Yeah. So that's kind of related to the question of space itself. Like, we know stuff is made out of little bits, but is space itself also pixelated like an iPhone screen or an old photograph?
Yeah. And this question is newly fascinating because we're only recently learning what space is, right?
Mm.
Like the question of is space pixelated is a reasonable question in parallel to is matter quantized and made out of smallest particles, because we've recently realized that space really is a thing also. It's not just like emptiness. Those of you who are out there saying, this is silly, space is nothing. And so of course you could be anywhere in it and you can divide it infinitely. We've recently realized that space is not nothing.
Before we thought it was nothing, just the absence of anything. But actually, it's not, right? It's almost like a medium or like what the ocean is to fish.
Yeah, exactly. It's a thing. It has dynamical properties, right? We know that it's not nothing because it can do things that nothing can't do, right? For example, space can expand. That's what dark energy is. And for those of you whose minds were just blown about the meaning of the phrase space can expand, go off and listen to our dark energy episode where we talk all about that.
Yeah.
And space can wiggle, right? Like things in space can expand and contract with these wiggles as gravitational waves pass through them. And, you know, those of you interested in that, go off and listen to our gravitational waves episode.
Mm.
And we also know that space can bend, right? That's what general relativity tells us. It tells us that gravity is not a force, but instead it's a bending of space. So space definitely is a thing. It has properties, and we've only just recently discovered that it's a thing and begun to investigate it. And so it's a very reasonable question to ask, is space pixelated like we think matter might be?
Like what is it made out of, or what's it like really? You know, it's not nothing. So if it's something...
It's like space is some famous celebrity you know, right? What's space like, you know, on the weekends?
What does it eat for breakfast?
Is it egotistical? It seems egotistical, you know? Seems so into itself.
What's space's favorite color?
Black.
Black.
Come on, what's space's favorite color? That one I think we know. That's a settled question in science. No, I think it's important to think about this question like, what is the smallest unit of space, right? What is space built out of?
Mm.
And I think the analogy to, you know, understanding what matter is built out of works there. Like, is space built out of the little bits, right? These pixels. And then the next question, if you discover space is built out of pixels, is what are those pixels made out of?
Yeah.
It could be that those pixels are made out of something smaller and deeper that's nothing like space. So that space itself is an emergent phenomenon, not a fundamental thing in our universe. That's something that arises, you know, like wetness or economics, you know, so not something that's built in at the very beginning of the universe, but something that comes out of how things interact.
Well, let's take this approach. So let's assume that space is pixelated.
Okay.
What does a space pixel mean or feel like or look like, or what would it do to things?
Yeah, well, what it would mean is that you can't be just anywhere you want in space.
Mm.
You know, just like Zeno, the beginning of this episode, it would mean that at some point, if you're small enough or you can zoom down enough, it would mean that you have to make a choice. Are you at location N or location N plus one, right? Mm. It would mean the space is discrete the way integers are, instead of being continuous the way real numbers are, right? There's an infinite number of numbers, for example, between 1 and 2.
Right.
There's 1, 1.5, 1.2784, and you can always squeeze more numbers in there. It's an infinite amount of numbers between 1 and 2.
Yeah.
If you're talking about real numbers, a continuous line of numbers. But for integers, like, there's just 1 and there's 2. There's no more integers in between. Space could be like that, where you're like, I'm at this spot, and if I want to take a step, there's a shortest distance I can step, and so you have to go to 2.
It's kind of like if you were on your iPhone, you were animating one pixel dot, black dot, on a white background. This dot can't just be anywhere on the screen. It has to move from one box to the next box.
That's right. It can't, like, cross over the boundary. It can't be halfway between one pixel and another, because then each pixel would have to be half white and half black, which they can't be, right? A pixel is the basic unit. It's either on or it's off.
So, like, if you look at the iPhone from a distance, this dot would look like it's moving smoothly across the screen, but really, it's taking little jumps between squares, right? Like, it's in this square once at this moment, and then it's suddenly in the next square, and then suddenly it's in the next square. You're saying that maybe, like, I'm not really moving continuously through space, maybe I'm just kind of like jumping from one box to the next.
Exactly. And the illusion of smoothness, the way you feel that you are moving smoothly, is your brain stitching that together. And it's easy to do because the pixels, if they exist, would be super duper tiny.
Mm.
But they only have to be smaller than we can notice. You know, for example, if you slow down a movie, it's nothing but a bunch of still images, right?
Right.
And if you watch them fast enough, the key is faster than your eye can register the differences, then it appears to be an infinitely smooth sequence. It seems like you're watching something in real life. Slow it down, of course, and you can see, oh, it's just a bunch of still images.
Mm.
In the same way, space might be discrete. We just haven't noticed. But that if you get small enough, you realize that these nodes, you know, it's like you can't get off halfway between subway stations, right?
Right.
It might be that space is like that, that every location in space is like a subway stop.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to get off the train halfway between stations and get stuck in the tunnel. Right? You can't, right? The universe forbids it.
Right. But if you're the pixel, like in a screen, the pixel isn't really moving. You just turn it off in one square and you turn it on in the next square. So it sort of disappears and it appears.
Yes. Are you going to ask if that's really like teleportation?
Yeah, right. Like, does that mean that as I'm moving through space, I'm actually like disappearing here and appearing in the next spot?
Yeah, I guess it does, you know. I guess it means that you zap from one spot to the other without going in between them, right? And so that really is a kind of teleportation. I hadn't thought of that before. It's sort of awesome.
Mm-hmm.
In the same way, like if time is quantized, then, you know, you're sort of slicing your way through time in the same way. That's fascinating. Yeah, so we're if space is pixelated, then we're all teleporting right now, all the time.
Only if you move. Only if you move.
Oh my God, we just invented teleportation right here, live on the podcast.
Oh,
amazing.
My goodness.
Get the legal team on the patent, please, will you?
And there goes your physics professorship, right? Out the door right there.
That's right. Boom, I'm officially a crackpot.
Well, let's take a quick break before we go on. Okay, so that's what it means for the universe to be pixelated, that we're all just kind of trapped in an iPhone screen and we can't really move anywhere. We have to move within these boxes.
That's right. But if it is, it's a really fancy, super modern iPhone because the pixels would be super duper tiny, right? And it has an awesome graphics processor.
Wow. What would you call it?
The iPhone U for universe.
It'd be like a quantum display.
That's right. iPhone QU, quantum universe.
Yeah. Tim Cook, give us a call.
That's right. Somebody put a trademark on that. Man, we need like a constant legal team standing by just to, you know, get down all the great ideas we come up with on the fly on the show.
So how could we tell if we are in a pixelated universe or not?
Yeah, well, that's hard. Because to see that we are in a pixelated universe, we'd have to see the pixels, right? So we'd have to zoom in somehow far enough to be able to see them. And of course, so far we haven't. So far, everything seems continuous. We don't notice discontinuities in the way things move.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have no idea how big these pixels are, right? So far, we have explored space and matter using high-energy particle colliders, and that's let us probe down to about 10 to the minus 20 meters.
Mm.
That's 0.20 zeros and a 1 meter.
Right.
That's a tiny little distance. I don't even know what the prefix is for that is some super tiny distance. We've studied space down about that distance using particle colliders, where we smash these tiny particles together and use the protons to like look inside the other protons, and that lets us study space. So we know that if there are space pixels, they have to be smaller than that.
Right. You mean at the Large Hadron Collider, you can poke things at that distance, meaning you can tell if things mash together within that small of a distance apart, right?
Yeah. Essentially, our current theory assumes that space is continuous.
Mm.
And our current theory doesn't break down to 10 to the minus 20. And so we would notice some deviation. Something would be different. The calculations would be wrong if space became pixelated and at a level that we didn't expect. And so far, we're pretty sure space seems continuous down to 10 to the minus 20.
Right.
So the pixels, if they exist, have to be really small.
Right. But I wonder, you know, if there's a philosophical limit there, you know, in the sense that, like, do you think Super Mario, if he's in a video game and he's a pixelated character, could he tell that the world was pixelated, you know, because he's pixelated and he thinks in pixelated thoughts? Could he notice?
He thinks in pixelated thoughts.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
what does that even mean? I think in terms of thought units. Here's a 3-pixel unit thought. I think that's an interesting question. If the pixels, say we lived in a universe where the pixels were fairly large in comparison to our bodies.
Like
right?
We were Minecraft characters.
Yeah, I think that's hard to imagine that realistically, because it would mean there's a pretty strong limit on how complex our bodies could be. I mean, if your body was made out of pixels that were like 6 centimeters across,
right,
then you just couldn't be very complicated if you were a meter tall. In order to have enough complication to have an interesting mind, you know, you need a huge complicated brain. So the brain would have to be enormous compared to the size of the pixels.
Oh, I see.
So I think it's pretty hard to have complex enough life to ask that question and still be small compared to the size of the pixels. So if Super Mario is an idiot, then yeah, he'd probably be pretty close to the size of the pixels. But then he's not going to be asking the question, why am I pixelated?
Well, his intelligence would be pixelated. So
he'd probably have 0 units.
And then if he takes a mushroom, is that going to grow too? That's just, you know.
I always wondered about those mushrooms. You know, does that change the way he thinks? Like, what is going on with those mushrooms?
That's what it is.
Where do I get some?
He doesn't actually get bigger. It's just his pixels in his mind.
That's right. Then the other question is, you know, would he even think to ask the question? If pixels were obvious in the universe, you wouldn't ask, why is the universe pixelated? It would just be one of the basic assumptions that you accept day to day, you know?
Oh, I see.
And that's one of the things I find fascinating about physics, is that we keep unraveling basic assumptions about the universe that we didn't even really think to question. You know, questions like, is time the same for everybody, right? Of course, we used to think, of course it was. Like, time is time, and a clock here and a clock there are the same. And now we know it's not. Time is relative and depends on your speed and all sorts of weird stuff. So physics is helping us peel back the universe and figure out where our perceptions have led to biases in the way we view the universe. And so that's why this space pixelization is just like another one on the list. It might be eventually physics shows us that space is different than the way we always imagined, you know, that it's made up of these little units.
So I think what you're saying is that as far as we know, we look at the world around us and the complexity of it, it's such that we're pretty sure that it's not pixelated up to a certain scale, which is 10 to the minus 20.
Yeah, we certainly do. And if we were close to the pixel scale, it would limit how much complexity we could have in our universe, right? If the pixels were a centimeter across, then our 1 meter scale life couldn't be very complex at all, right?
Right.
Like, what kind of interesting thing could you build out of actual real size Legos, right? You can't make a machine that's very complicated.
Right.
You know?
You wouldn't see these rich effects that you see when you poke the world around you.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so what makes scientists even think that the universe could be pixelated?
I think they were just hanging out in the 70s and smoking too much weed, and they were like,
eating
whoa,
mushrooms.
Man.
Playing video games while eating mushrooms.
No, it's not like, some people might think, it comes from the idea that the universe is a simulation. And if it's a simulation, then of course it's pixelated because computers in the outside universe are pixelated. No, it comes from a deeper place. Mm. It comes from noticing that quantum mechanics seems to work really well, right? Quantum mechanics has described everything we know except for gravity, and it seems to be a fundamental description of the universe that everything is quantized, you know? Packets of light, for example, can't have an arbitrary amount of energy. They can only have certain units of energy. Matter itself is made out of particles, which are little quantized bits of stuff, right? So it seems like for a reason we don't understand, the universe is quantized. And quantized, of course, just means little units of stuff. And so it's very natural to imagine that space also might be quantized, that space also, instead of being infinitely divisible, might also be made out of pieces, because the universe seems to like quantum mechanics.
So you're saying that, like, the stuff that we see around us does have smallest bits, like there is a Lego piece of matter.
Yeah.
You can't split an electron, really. Like, you can't have half an electron or a quarter of an electron. So maybe that says something about the universe as a whole. Like, maybe everything is just kind of blocky.
That's right. It would make sense. It would feel natural, and it would feel coherent with what we think about modern physics if space was also quantized. And then there's some technical reasons. Like, there are some theories of physics which just don't work if you get small enough.
What do you mean?
You know, some theories of quantum mechanics and the way it describes interactions below a certain distance, you just start to get infinities. Like, you know, how does a theory of physics work? Well, it's something that predicts an experiment, right? Say, I think this is going to happen. What does my theory of electromagnetism tell me? And so you can do some calculation. It tells you, oh, the electron's going to turn left and go at this angle. But sometimes the theories break and they give you numbers that make no sense. Like, oh, the electron's going to turn and it's going to go to infinite angle or have infinite energy. So there's some theories, and it's a bit too technical to get into, that break down at really, really small scales.
Wow.
And they just start to give infinities. And so some of those problems are solved if you have a smallest distance, because then you don't have to go to those smallest scales, right?
Right.
And this especially is a problem when people try to describe gravity using quantum mechanics. It comes up with all sorts of crazy problems. And one solution to that is to say, well, what if this is the shortest distance? Then we don't have to think about doing these calculations down to infinitely small distances, right?
So nothing can happen at such a small scale. So in theory, the theory doesn't break down. It's just nothing can happen at that scale. So why even worry about it?
Yeah, it's like a clue. It's saying, oh, this theory doesn't work. It can't describe a universe where there's infinitely small distances. So then the idea is, well, maybe the theory's wrong, or maybe the universe doesn't have infinitely small distances, in which case the theory works, right? There's lots of fun ways to make your theory work, and one of them is just to imagine that the places where it breaks are the places where it's not physical, where it's not actually describing what's happening.
Well, this is a perfect point to take a break. Well, this is interesting. So there's apparently a number that physicists think might be the pixel of the universe. Like, there's a concrete number they think might tell you what the pixelation, the resolution of the universe is, right?
A little bit. I mean, I think that's overstating it. There is a number which we think might have something to do with the pixelization of the universe. But the argument is pretty weak. All right, I'll walk you through it, but you'll be unimpressed with how strong the argument is. All right, just trying to manage your expectations a little
bit. All right, I'll make them pixel size.
There you go. Yeah, go for one unit of expectation. Here's the argument. The argument is, we've noticed there are some fundamental constants in the universe, like the speed of light. And that has units meters per second, right? And that's just a number, and we measure it, and it's a parameter of the universe. We don't know why it's this and why it's that, and we have a whole podcast episode about that, but it is a number. And there are other units we've noticed, like the strength of gravity, right? It's called big G. The gravitational constant appears in Newton's formula. And the Planck constant, the one that appears in quantum mechanics, it tells you how well you can know two numbers at the same time. So there's all these basic units that we've measured and we've discovered, and we think they reveal something about the universe. We think they tell us something about why the universe is this way and not that way. And we don't know where they come from.
They're kind of like the pi, or, you know, just the number that exists in the universe.
Yeah, well, pi is an especially fascinating one because it's unitless, right? So it's pure in some sense. But these numbers have units, you know, they're like joules per second or meters per second or whatever. And so we think they tell us something about why the universe is this size or has this, or you can go this fast, or, you know.
It's some sort of like ratio between two things.
Yes, exactly. They fix the relationship between things. Like, the speed of light fixes the relationship between distance and time, right? It's meters per second.
Oh, I see. The speed of light is like a universal physics number.
Yes, exactly.
And so there's other numbers like these. in physics theories?
Yeah, there's a few that we've discovered along the way, and we think they're deep and fundamental. And, you know, some future theory of physics might reveal why they are the way they are, but currently they're just numbers, and we imagine that they could have been set to something else, and that's a whole other discussion. Here's the thing you can do, though, is that you can manipulate these numbers, you can multiply them by each other until you get a number that has units of distance. So you multiply Planck's constant, and you have the gravitational constant, the speed of light squared. You can cancel out all the units until you get a number that has just units of distance. Okay, so what is that number? Well, they call it the Planck length because it has Planck's constant in it, and it's a number. And the number is 10 to the minus 35 meters. That's 0.35 zeros and then a 1. So that's a tiny, tiny number. And because it comes from these simple basic units, we imagine it has special meaning. We imagine that it's a clue, that it tells us something about the way the universe works. And because it's just units of distance, we like to think that it tells us something about the fundamental nature of distance in the universe. Now, does it? I mean, who knows? It's just a bunch of numbers we multiplied together, you know? We thought those numbers were important, but maybe they're not.
It's kind of like if you take the smallest things and the fastest things you know, like the smallest bit of matter and the going at the fastest possible speed, and, you know, what would be the smallest distance that it could go? That's kind of what it is. To mix all of these numbers together, right?
Yeah, it's not that much smarter an argument than that. It's just like,
oh, great. I felt like that was an insult.
I don't say that to insult physics, right? Like, it's not a great argument, but it's the first thing you do, right? It's unit analysis. Say, well, if we have no clue, what can we do? Well, let's combine these numbers and maybe that'll give us a clue. So it's not, no physicists are out there saying, this is definitely the fundamental unit of of distance. It just says, if there is one, it might be around this number. I mean, to within a factor of 100 or 1,000 would be still a pretty good clue, right?
10 to the negative 35, which sounds really small.
It is really small.
It is really small, but it's kind of, it's not small compared to infinity. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like the number pi, you can take decimals out to 35, 3,500, 35 million decimals.
Yeah.
But you're saying maybe the universe only goes up to 35 decimals.
Yeah, that's right. It's a lot bigger than, you know, 10 to the minus 100 or 10 to the minus 1,000 or 10 to the minus 10,000, right?
Right.
These are much, much smaller numbers. The thing is, it's also much smaller than the thing we've seen. Remember, we studied space down to about 10 to the minus 20. So that means that we are a factor of 10 to the 15 away from seeing these pixels, if in fact they exist and if they're at that scale.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, for a sense of scale, like the solar system is 10 to the 15 meters across, I believe. So if you could only see things, you know, down to 10 to the 15 meters, you'd be missing a lot of interesting detail. Like you'd miss Earth and life and planets and stuff.
And us. What a tragedy.
I know. How could you study the universe without seeing the most important and best looking two dudes in it, right?
Like if you were a giant the size of a galaxy and you had an iPhone the size of, you know, the Milky Way and the biggest pixel in it was the size of a solar system, there would be a lot you'd be missing.
Exactly. So between where we've seen at 10 to the minus 20 meters and how far things might go at 10 to the minus 35 meters, there could be a huge amount of complexity and richness down there that we're totally ignorant of.
Little tiny pixel people.
That's right.
Asking these same questions. It could be a little pixelated alien going, Mama Mario, what's good?
Hold on a second. I don't think I've ever heard your Italian accent. That was pretty good.
And we just lost all of our Italian listeners.
That's right. Italian listeners, please write in and comment at Jorge's accent at danielandjorge.com.
Jorge offends a whole country.com. Okay, well, let's get some perspective here. What do you think it would mean for us and our understanding of ourselves and our universe if we found out that the universe is pixelated?
It would be a really deep insight just into the very nature of the universe. You know, to know that number tells you something about the scale at which the universe was built, right? Everything in the universe happens from its basic elements. So we have fascinating structure, you know, galaxies and superclusters and all that stuff. But all that arises from the interactions of smaller pieces, you know, particles and electrons. Everything is determined by what happens at the smallest scale, right? So everything in the universe comes out of these basic elements. So to learn How big the smallest unit is tells you how the universe was constructed. And in the end, what is science and physics about, other than this goal of trying to deprogram the universe or look at the source code or figure out how this thing is organized? And so that would be pretty awesome. But, you know, it would actually just be a first step.
Yeah. No, you just made me realize it would really kind of blow your mind to just have this sense that the universe has a structure, right? That it somehow feels built.
Yeah.
You know, like there's a scaffolding to the universe.
Yeah, like a graph paper, right?
Yeah.
And then you have to ask questions like...
And who made that graph paper?
And why that size, right? Oh. Why is it 10 to the minus 35 meters and not 10 to the minus 500 meters or 10 to the minus 30 meters, right? What does that mean? There's like a clue there about the very structure of the universe.
Right.
Is it a random number and it generated arbitrarily when all the multiverses were created? Mm. Or does it give you a clue somehow about something deep about the universe? On the other hand, you know, we talked about like galaxies just being emergent phenomena, right? They're a really cool thing, but they're just formed out of smaller bits and their complex behavior arises into this thing called a galaxy. A lot of people think these days that space itself could be an emergent phenomenon.
What?
Okay, that these pixels of space could be built out of something smaller that's not space.
Okay? Oh, wait. So space is not space, is what you're saying. Space is actually, you know, A and B or a combination of things.
Yeah. Yeah. The way like, you know, cookies are not their ingredients, right? You mix them together, you bake them, you get
Whoa.
A cookie. But if you start with flour and butter and sugar, none of those things are cookies, right? So cookies are an emergent phenomena in your kitchen. They're not a fundamental
Wow.
unit. I mean, unless you buy a lot of cookies and that's all you buy, in which case they are the fundamental pixel of your kitchen.
Like there's even some hidden forces inside of space is what you're saying, right? Like there's,
Yes.
there's something...
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, and there's some pretty cool theories about that. Like there's one that's called quantum loop theory, mm-hmm. and it builds space out of these tiny little loops. It says maybe the fundamental unit of location in the universe is not space, it's something else. It's these little tiny loops. And those would be quantized, of course, quantum loop gravity. And out of those, the way those things are connected, space is formed. And that could tell you all sorts of things like, well, maybe that tells you why there's a maximum speed to how fast information can travel through space, because it's how fast these loops can talk to each other.
Like space is not like a jelly or like a space. It's more like a mesh or like a weave.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Or a really complicated subway system and connected by these other forces. And so you hear people, eminent science communicators saying things like, maybe space emerges from the quantum foam, right? And like,
foam.
I always hear that and I think, what does that even mean, man? Oh. And that's what it means. It means that it's not a basic element of the universe, but that it comes out of the interaction of smaller stuff, right? The way cookies come out of ingredients.
Like as I'm walking down the street, what's actually happened is that all of my electrons and protons and quarks are actually like moving around in this mesh, this invisible mesh that is the universe.
No. I think it's trickier to think about than that, because you can't think of these elements of this mesh as bits of space. They're not, right?
Mm.
You can't move from one to the other. Somehow space arises from that. And this whole concept of location and motion through it could be an emergent phenomenon, right? And one that doesn't have any meaning below that distance. So you're not moving through the mesh. Somehow, you know, information is propagating through the mesh, or the mesh is interacting with itself in some way.
Wow.
But this notion of moving comes out of your assumption that like space is fundamental, and we have to rethink that if space is not fundamental.
Meaning like a Super Mario moving around the screen in your TV, it's not actually moving. He's just like a table of data in some program.
Yeah.
That doesn't look like space. It's just numbers related to each other.
Exactly. That's the perfect way to think about it. What makes those pixels, right? Not smaller pixels, right? It's some calculation inside the iPhone. And there's a little bit of technology there that lights that up. And, you know, it's not motion. So it's something totally different underneath. And so it could be that the universe is made out of things that this gradation, this granularity of space, these grains are made out of something totally new and alien to us. And discovering them could peel back a layer and reveal something really deep about the universe. And so, you know, pass the joint, man, because
pass the mushrooms.
We're getting pretty deep here. So what do you think, Jorge? Do you think space is pixelated, or you think this is just a crazy idea?
You know, intuitively, it seems implausible, right? Like space seems so smooth. And like we said before, it would mean that we're always sort of teleporting from one spot to the other. But, you know, like you said, who knows, right? We used to think matter was perfectly smooth, but it turned out not to be.
So it sounds like modern physics has uprooted you from all of your beliefs about the way the world works, huh? You know, you now have skepticism about everything.
Yeah, are you even there, Daniel?
No, I think that's a healthy attitude, you know? And I think it's hard to hold that in your head. I mean, on one hand, you go around your daily life, you drive your car, you buy coffee, you do all these things without thinking about the way the world is working underneath you. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I'm just struck breathless by realizing the incredible complexity of things that are happening invisibly around us.
Right.
And, you know, the things might be totally different from the way we imagine. Right. It's hard to hold that in your head a lot, which is why it's nice sometimes to just read a magazine and drink a cup of coffee, because it's breathtaking, you know? It's disorienting the way learning that we're tiny specks on a little mote of dust in a huge universe is. But it's also fun.
Wow. Well, I hope that you guys out there listening also maybe see the world a little bit differently.
All right. Thanks very much for listening, and enjoy the rest of your day. If you still have a question after listening to all these explanations, please drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you. You can find us at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Daniel and Jorge, that's one word, or email us at feedback@danielandjorge.com.